Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Ain't nothing much, man. You know, just a typical Sunday night, talking sports and entertainment. You know what we do, you know, we talk sports, entertainment, and we're going to lead off with the SummerSlam recap. You know, normally we talk about WWE and, you know, professional wrestling at the end of the show, but yeah, a lot of happened in the world of sports entertainment, so we're gonna lead off with that. Talk about what's going on with the Mets and Yankees lately in the regular season, as Mets just wrapped up their series with the Red Sox, and Yankees just face the Atlanta Braves. We'll talk about that, and of course the annual preseason game between the Giants and the Jets. We'll also talk about that. But, of course, yeah, most importantly, you know, we have the phone number in case you guys would like to express your thoughts on any of these topics or and more. feel free to call the number right here, and that is, of course, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to, you know, share your thoughts if you'd like. And with that, but before we get to WWE, you know, we got a – there was some – you know, we got to start the show with some sad news, unfortunately. And, of course, I'm talking about the passing of, Darryl Dawkins, you know, the legendary dunker, you know, NBA, one of the greatest dunkers of all time. This dude actually shattered the backboard, you know, back in the days.
Twice.
Like in the 80s.
Multiple times.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. He's done it multiple times, man.
Chocolate Thunder.
See, we're reading each other's mind. We said at the same time, like we rehearsed it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, it's very sad, you know. Every time, you know, someone passes away, you know. But, yeah, I think he was only 54, too. 54 also, I should say. You know, he was 54.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very young. You know,
close
my
to 60.
Yeah, my condolences go out to him and his family. I mean, you know, to his family, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he played for the Sixers for, well, 7 or 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Right?
Also the Nets, I think, too, also.
Yeah, played for the Nets. Yeah. Legend. Known for his dunking. His infamous dunk was called the Chocolate Thunder Flying, Robozine crying, teeth shaking, glass breaking, rump roasting, bun toasting, bam bam, glass breaker, I am jammed. That was one of his backboard breaking dunks. But yeah, he was known for his dunking, and when he dunked, man, he dunked like he was trying to beat on someone. Attacking the rim with force.
Oh yeah. He was a ferocious dunker, no doubt about that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, he'll be missed. You know, it's, you know, sad, you know, he passed away. But
it's unfortunate.
But, you know,
rest in peace, and condolences to his family.
Absolutely. My sentiments exactly. But, you know, with that said, let's recap, without further ado, let's recap the SummerSlam. And, of course, you know, we both attended Barclays Center Sunday night. And, let's talk about the matches. Let me see off the top of my head. Let's see what matches they had. The tag team match, New Day versus Part Time Players, who were the defending champions at the time, and versus Lucha Dragons, and then they were also versus Los Matadores. You picked off my memory. You picked PTP to retain the titles, but I had a feeling that it was a New Day.
Yeah.
And I was right. You know, New Day did actually win. And one thing, you know, to notice was that, you know, that pay-per-view event, man, that's like the Raw after WrestleMania a few years ago when Fandango Mania, you know, swept WWE. I think this is that pay-per-view event, man. I'm telling you that, you know, New Day, you know, people found them entertaining, but like that Barclays Center, you know, crowd, which obviously we were a part of, man, that was like their, that looked like that could be their, you know, their
coming out party.
Their Austin 316, or even more recently, Daniel Bryan at that WrestleMania in Florida a few years ago when the fans were chanting yes, yes, yes. So it looked like this could be their defining moment.
Could be.
Yeah, they're really, even though they're villains, they're really over with the crowd. And normally speaking, that's usually a bad thing because you want to get heat. But the problem is they're so good at getting heat that the fans actually like them. And, of course, you know, New York City is a heel city nowadays. So, you know, so it was mad entertaining, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely fun to watch, and them chanting for New Day. Yeah, made a New Day, you know, they made New Day into favorites, at least for one night, you know.
Exactly. It reminds me exactly like what happened to The Rock when he joined the Nation of Domination, you know. You know, Kofi Kingston, I mean, Kofi Kingston is like The Rock 2.0 when you think about it.
Because,
you know, they started out their careers as smiley, happy-go-lucky good guys. And, you know, apparently the fans got, you know, tired of it, you know, at one point. They turned both guys' heels, joined a group, you know, led by African-American professional wrestlers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they turned heel and got popular after they became bad guys. And eventually those three guys are going to break up. When? I guess only time will tell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was interesting, you know, New Day, they're finally the new champions. And even more shockingly, the very same night, I mean, I know we're jumping a little ahead with, you know, to Monday Night Raw last week, but, yeah, the Dudley Boys shocked everybody and returned. Their first appearance since 2005. Obviously, you remember earlier this year, Bubba Ray was a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble, but the Dudley Boys are back, and this is not just a one-time thing. They're back. Reportedly, they signed a multi-year deal, so they're here to stay, man. And man, the Dudley Boys, man. I mean, that might be my favorite tag team right of all time. I mean, it's the Rock and Sock and the Dudley Boys, man. Because you know, I became a wrestling fan during the Attitude Era, you know, so
yeah.
Dudley Boys and the Rock and Sock connection, it doesn't, you know, on my book, you know, it doesn't get any higher. You know, obviously I got respect for the old school guys, you know, like Heart Foundation, you know, Legion of Doom, Demolition, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, the Rockers, all those, you know, legendary tag teams, you know, that I didn't mention, you know, I have a lot of respect for them, but now, I grew up in the Attitude Era, you know, I liked, you know, that style of wrestling, you know, like this, you know, no holds bar.
Hardcore.
You know, just, you know, do anything it takes to win kind of mentality.
Yeah.
But jumping back to SummerSlam, the other tag team match was, of course, Roman Reigns, Sting, no, not Sting. Roman Reigns, I'm trying to remember, Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. And the good guys won. I think we both picked that, if my memory serves me right.
I think I might have picked Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns to win that.
That's what I did. That's what I picked also.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think we both got it right on that one. Can't remember what other matches was there. Wasn't there another tag team? Oh yeah, there was a Divas tag team match. It was I'm trying to remember.
PCB versus PCB, Team Bella.
Team Bella versus Team Bad.
Yeah.
And basically.
Of course, the Team PCB won.
PCB, I think some was it Becky Lynch? Yeah, Becky Lynch got put one of the ladies. I think it was Nikki. No, Brie Bella. I think in her submission move. Yeah, I think that's what happened. And let me see what else happened in that pay per view off the top of my head. There was the Ryback versus Miz versus Big Show for like the 1100th time. And
yeah.
As I suspected, Ryback won.
Yeah, of course.
And basically that was, you know, what can you expect? It's what you expected to happen.
Yeah, I expected Ryback to win, so that was no surprise.
And, oh yeah, the other tag team match was Stephen Amell whatchamacallit, Stephen Amell, Neville versus Stardust and King Barrett. Every time I say King, I think of Booker, you know, all of a sudden. But
Stephen Amell, he did a pretty good job, I thought.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He had like hip tosses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad. Then they won, you know, and Neville got the red arrow to get the victory.
Yeah.
Let me see what other matches was there. I'm trying to
Ziggler versus Rusev.
Ziggler versus Rusev. Ziggler won that one, if my memory serves me right?
This one was a draw, a double count out.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, that was a lame ending. I remember that now.
I thought this one was going to go either way, so it actually ended up in a draw, so.
Yeah, so I guess technically we were right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it wasn't a bad match. The ending was horrible.
Yeah. That's just set up for a rematch.
Of course. Let's see. What before the major match, there was, of course, I'm trying to think if there was any major matches before the
Randy Orton.
Sheamus versus Randy Orton for the 15,000th time.
I expected Sheamus to finally beat his ass.
I thought Randy Orton, I think I picked Randy Orton to win. And Sheamus hit him with two bro kicks consecutively.
Yeah.
And he got the victory. And
got him.
Yeah, basically that was it. That's all she wrote. And then moving on to the John Cena. I don't think there's any other major match. There's any other match before the two major matches, right? The
Kevin Owens Cesaro.
Oh yeah, man! How I forgot that match. That match was awesome right there. Kevin Owens, Cesaro. You know, you got two athletic strongmen. You know, just battling out wrestling, man. That's what wrestling is all about. If you want to see wrestling in 2015, you should just pop in that tape, man. You had Cesaro, you know, doing his that lift where he spin you around. And this guy, I think he's the best wrestler in the game right now. I mean, pound for pound, you can't out wrestle. I mean, unless you want to put Brock Lesnar, but then I mean, Brock Lesnar is the most like dominant guy. But Cesaro, man, his offense is like unpredictable. I mean, other than the flying uppercut and the neutralizer, you don't know what you're gonna see from Cesaro. I mean, other than, you know, he does do the swing also, but his match, I mean, you know, that was awesome. And then Kevin Owens, man, this guy, he's so athletic for a big man, man. Stu could do that that cannonball. Man, what are you going to say?
Yeah, Cesaro's a good wrestler. I thought he was going to win that match, too, but Kevin Owens came out with the W.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
Kevin Owens is he's not a push off either, you know. He's a good wrestler as well.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. He battled in independent leagues, most notably Ring of Honor. As a lot of these guys, including the Seth Rollins, the current WWE and United States champion. And Seth Rollins, he defeated John Cena with the help of his old nemesis, Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, formerly of The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And it was a good match, you know. And
I was surprised when Jon Stewart came out.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to come out. I saw someone running. But once he came into the ring, I had a feeling he was going to do the screw job. Because he kind of sold it. He didn't really sell it well because you could kind of see he was kind of looking to see when he was going to turn around before he hit. I mean, to me, it looked like I had a feeling he was going to do it. And fans were hoping he was going to do it.
And he explained the next night in a row why he did it.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to see Ric Flair's WWE/NWA/WCW title 16 title reign record to be tied by John Cena.
Yeah.
So that's why apparently he did it. That was his reasoning. And, of course, like you mentioned, Ric Flair, the next night on Raw said that, you know, records were made to be broken and he'd hope it would be from a guy that he, you know, he respects, you know, tremendously, you know, as in, you know, Cena. So that was all for nothing. And all John Stewart got for his troubles was an attitude adjustment on live TV. And Ric Flair didn't even, Ric Flair was like, Ric Flair didn't even care.
Yeah.
He even shook what's his name's hand. How'd you feel if, you know, you had a friend or someone you respected? Let me think. Let's say Richard Pryor, let's say, turn back the clock. This was before Richard Pryor died. You stopped Kevin Hart from breaking his I don't know, MSG sold out record. So you interfered with the thing. You interfered with the mic of Kevin Hart so he wouldn't get that record. Wouldn't you think you know, Richard Pryor would have been more grateful that, you know, you were such a fan of his that, you know, you cared so much about his legacy that you did something, you know, bad?
Yeah, but then again, Richard Pryor might not even care, you know? He might be like Ric Flair and just say records are broken, you know? Some people are like that. Some people that hold records, they don't care, you know?
Well, I mean,
people are selfish like that.
Well, I agree with Ric Flair's, you know, sentiments. I mean, records are literally made to be broken. I mean, that's what,
yeah.
Keep records. If,
exactly.
You know, if there was no possibility for a record to be broken, yeah, then why keep the record? It's going to be meaningless, you know?
Exactly.
So that was his reasoning. But, you know, Cena, you know, Rollins, you know, defeated Cena, and now he's the first man ever to hold the United States and the World Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, he Seth Rollins, man, he did a great match, man. I mean, actually the New York fans over there, they were rooting. Obviously, everybody was rooting for John Cena.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, we were saying that they were Seth Rollins fans. And after that match, man, he turned everybody into Seth Rollins fans.
Yeah. It was a great match, though. It's even though Cena didn't win, you know, it's still a great match regardless.
Yeah, either way, history was made. There was going to be a new unified World Heavyweight Champion / United States Champion. Or John Cena would have won would have tied Ric Flair's record, which,
yep,
John Stewart didn't want to see any part of that. And to be honest with you, a lot of the New York fans didn't want to see that either, unless you were wearing, you know, you can't see me shirts and you were under the age of 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was a great match. And now, you know, Seth Rollins, he's going to be facing Sting next month at the Night of Champions. And looks like it should be an awesome pay-per-view event. What's your thoughts on that?
That should be great. Finally see Sting wrestle after so many months of being away.
And... what was I going to say? And in Sting's second ever WWE match, he has a shot to be the WWE champion, something that always eluded him since, you know, up until last year, he never signed with WWE, even though there was rumors for over a decade that he would re-sign. So now he has that chance on September 20th, at Night of Champions. And speaking of which, he has his own, something you never thought would happen. Sting is on the cover of the the poster of the upcoming pay-per-view event. So that's history made right there too.
Yeah, it's good to see, and I can't wait to see that match between him and Rollins. It should be a great one.
Who do you want to win? Who would you like to see win this match?
Sting.
I agree with you, but of course we'll tell you who we think is gonna win in a month or so. So keep your eyes open for the the Night of Champion preview. Who we think will win? You know, we just gave you a little sneak peek who we want to win, but you shall see who we pick to win the match. But any case, after that main event, of course, the fans, in the stadium, including myself and you, we're optimistic about the pay-per-view event for the most part, But then the Undertaker match happened, and the fans, like us, we were on the edge of our feet. We were watching every blow, every finishing maneuver, every soup. We were into this match, man. It was an awesome match.
That was the match of the night.
Yes, it was the match of the night. But then the weird finish in the end, it really bust the air out of the balloon of the whole Barclays Center fans. The fans, they practically were going to riot, especially one of the fans we saw, man. It was unbelievable how WWE screwed such a big match. To me, I likened it to The Rock versus Cena Part 2. When Rock, obviously, he was paying his dues, to Cena, because, that's what, veterans do, even though Cena is a veteran in his own right, but, he put the guy over, because, quote unquote, obviously it's best for business, Cena getting over, he got the title back, but, me personally, being a Rock fan, I wanted to see Rock finally win his, at WrestleMania, which is something that eluded him, but I guess that will never happen. But in any case, so basically WWE crapped all over the, the old school fans, the loyal old school fans, and basically Undertaker tapped out, but the referee didn't see it. But apparently the timekeeper saw it, so he rang the bell. And then the referee was arguing he didn't see it. So then afterwards, the fans were thinking that, they reset the match. This match is going to go at least 5 minutes. We're going to have some excellent, back and forth. Nope. Undertaker puts him in the Hell's Gate, and then Brock Lesnar passes out. But before he passes out, he gives him the middle finger. Many people, including myself, and I believe yourself as well, we thought that after he did that, he was going to, break out of the thing, and then they were to continue fighting. But no, that was literally his desperation move. He gave him the finger, he passed out, and then the bell rung. But at that point, I was like, what happened? Did he tap out? So basically, WWE did the replay of what happened with the bells ringing both times. And basically, the fans were PO'd because WWE, they didn't have a problem with Undertaker winning. The problem is that they made Undertaker have a tainted victory. And you could clearly see that WWE is trying so hard to turn Undertaker into a heel. It's very evident. But the problem is that Undertaker is a legend. Undertaker could slap somebody's mother inside a WWE arena, but guess what? They're still gonna chant and root for Undertaker because they remembered what he did. All the stuff he's done in the ring ever since he's wrestled in a WWE ring since November of 1990. So yeah. Basically, Undertaker has done so many horrible things. I mean, in essence, he's a villain, but because of all he's done in the ring, the respect he has kayfabe-wise and, you know, in real life, you know, the fans and the people he competed with and worked with or and for him, they legitimately have respect for him. That part is, you know, undeniable. But WWE is clearly trying to turn him into a bad guy. But, you know, to be honest with you, I was rooting for Undertaker. I wanted to see Undertaker tie it up. But the way how they did it, it was really there was no fan I saw that was happy with that finish. And basically, what's best for business is ultimately trying to give the fans something that, you know, they could be like, you know what, I got my money's worth. I enjoyed it. Might have been the ending, not the ending I wanted, but it made sense. Having Undertaker lose or actually win in a tainted fashion, I mean, it was weird because Undertaker is Undertaker. He doesn't need a tainted victory. And what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great match between Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, but yeah, it was a very awkward ending to that match. Undertaker, you know, tapping out at first, and the referee not seeing it, the bellkeeper actually seeing it and calling the match, and then we find out that Undertaker actually won when he put Lesnar in that submission move. But yeah, this is definitely going to set up a rematch, possibly for Survivor Series or even next year's WrestleMania event. Who knows?
Probably.
So this is not over yet. But yeah, well, I mean, if WWE is trying to make Undertaker a heel, it's not a good idea at all.
Yep. And maybe this might lead to, like you said, a Brock Lesnar rematch with Undertaker, or maybe Sting versus Undertaker. And Undertaker as a heel, maybe. Who knows? But
I don't think this is over between Lesnar and Undertaker.
What are you saying?
I don't think this is over between Undertaker and Lesnar.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The question is, are they going to have the Brock Lesnar Undertaker rematch, you know, like a Survivor Series? Or in any case, if they don't have the rematch before Royal Rumble or by Royal Rumble, then you could pretty much bet your Aunt Patty and Aunt Selma that they will definitely be having a rematch at WrestleMania. So there's no way that with the series even up that they're going to leave it like that. So by WrestleMania, they will definitely face each other again. Me personally, I hope they fight each other at Royal Rumble or Survivor Series. Between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, I think it would be either those two pay-per-view events. If those two guys don't square off, then sorry, WWE. You might as well write spoiler alert, because we will know that they will face each other. Barring serious injuries, they will face each other at WrestleMania 32. But, going to Raw, a lot of stuff happened on Raw. You know, of course, the Dudley Boys returned. We talked about that. And Sting returned. He pretended to be, a statue for Seth Rollins, and he attacked him in vintage Sting form. And he will finally face Seth Rollins, which definitely puts him in full circle because he did interfere in that Survivor Series match where Seth Rollins, you know, lost to Dolph Ziggler with the Team Cena match last November. So I'm really excited with that match. And another thing that happened on Raw was Bray Wyatt. He has a new family member. And, what was his name? Let me try to look for his name.
I'm forgetting his name, too.
Something Strowman?
Something like that.
Yeah, that dude is scary. I haven't seen an intimidating wrestler like that since Great Khali first attacked Undertaker in his debut.
Yeah.
Because you had I was like, who is this guy? At first I thought it was Bray Wyatt, and I'm like, wait a minute, Bray Wyatt is not taller than Roman Reigns. And I was like, oh, shoot, there's a new member. and he choked him out. And then I think on SmackDown, he did the same exact thing.
Yeah, he has like that black, lamb mask, whatever.
Right. And apparently, there's rumors that they might, the Wyatt family might finally have Sister Abigail.
Really?
But we'll see about that. And
I wonder who will be Sister Abigail if it's a former WWE diva.
I have no idea, but hopefully that rumor is true and we'll find out. And on Raw, tomorrow night, they will have Sting lead off the show.
That's going to be great.
That's one thing to look forward to.
Yeah, that's going to be great to see what he has to say.
Oh, yeah, so definitely check out that show. And, of course, you know, the Mets lost 2 out of 3. They won the last game of the season against the Red Sox. And, of course, you know, the Yankees swept the Braves. And the Jets defeated the Giants. You have any last words you'd like to say, my friend?
Check out my show. I'm at Saturday Night Love.